A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Welcome to those who are here in church and to those who are worshiping via Zoom. We would like to welcome, on behalf of the congregation and parish, all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or who are doing so after a long while. You are welcome to join us after the service in our church hall for teas and coffees and to exchange greetings and blessings. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 145, the verses 1 to 13a. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. Amen. Our first hymn, 622, we sing a love that sets all people free.
Thank you. Let us pray.
Come, ring out our joy to the Lord, for he is our God, and we, the people who belong to his pasture, the flock that is led by his hand. Above all earthly power, O God, you are reigning. Help us to acknowledge you as our King. Underneath the depths of human weakness and sorrow are your everlasting arms. Help us to trust in you for all our needs. Beyond the reach of our imagination and desire is your never-failing love and care. Help us to realize your presence with us and to offer the worship of heart and mind and will all surrendered to your service. Though we are bound to you, our God, by many ties, we recognize that in our lives there is restlessness, anxiety, and fear. If these arise because we reject your leading and wander from your way, we ask you to give us now the honesty to admit our failings and the courage to repent of them. Hear us, therefore, when we pray, confessing our sins to you in the silence of our hearts. Take away from us, O God, our sins which separate us from you, that with pure hearts and cleansed lips we may come before you and celebrate this service joyfully and praise your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Good morning, children. Are there any children in church? Got at least three of you, and two of them are the greatest footballers in Newport on Tay. That's what somebody told me. How are you today? Good? What have you been doing this week? Playing football? I thought you would say you've been doing work in school. You've been playing football. What else have you been doing? Going outside. All of us go outside. What special thing have you been doing apart from football? No, nothing special. At least you've come to church today, which is a very special thing. All of us, or all of you, you surely have parents or people who look after you, who go to work or do some work. Either they go to work, maybe they work from home. But do you know exactly what they do in terms of work? Do you know what your parents do, the details of what they do. Of course, they go to work. You know that they work, don't you? Okay. Do you know what they do? You don't know. It's a tricky question, isn't it? Every day I go to my office and I work from my office. I'm not sure Gillette knows what I do in that office. You don't know. But do you know why your parents work? Why do they work? Yes, Chris? They work to make money. That's why we work. And to do what with the money? Spend on the things you need. For example, buy things that. So, but you don't know exactly what they do in those offices if they work from home. So that they are doing something. And of course, to work in order to. Now, each time we come to church, we are praying to God and we are worshiping God. But we don't know what God is doing, or do we know? We don't know what God is doing. But we know that God is doing something. Okay? Just like our parents who sit in their offices, either at home or at job sites, and they work to get money for us to survive this difficult life, to eat and to supply our needs, God is at work doing something for us. And these are good things. So even though we do not see God, we know that He's there. And one of the reasons we come to church is to thank Him because of the things that He is doing that we don't necessarily see Him doing, but we know that He is doing. He supplies our needs. He gives us good health. He directs our lives in good ways if we listen to His voice. And He helps us to overcome difficult things in our lives when we ask Him in prayers. So even though we do not see God and we do not know what He is doing, what I want us to learn today is that God is doing something and He is doing something good in order to keep us happy. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You once again this morning for Your blessings upon us and for Your guidance and direction. And we thank You especially for our children. Young as they are, O Father, we pray that You continue to open their minds to Your word, that they learn from You, trust You, and follow the direction which You bring, so that their lives will continue to make good influence in the world. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, Your Son, and our Lord. Amen. There is a spirit in the air. Our next hymn, 616.
Thank you. Our first reading this morning is from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And our second reading is from the New Testament, Romans 11, verses 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. May God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. And our next hymn is number 466, Before the Throne of God Above.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, source of light, giver of life, satisfy our questing spirits in him who is the image of your glory, the light which does not fail, the life which does not die, our Lord Jesus Christ. Draw near to us in love as now we draw near to you in prayer, that we may be obedient to the heavenly vision and share daily in the risen life of your Son, both in worship of our hearts and in the work of our hands. Amen. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? And the straightforward answer is nobody. In the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul gives a comprehensive account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Step by step, he has shown how God has revealed his way of putting sinners right with himself, how Christ died for our sins and was raised for our justification, how we are united with Christ in his death and resurrection, how the Christian life is lived, not under the law, but in the Spirit, and how God plans to incorporate the fullness of Israel and of the Gentiles into his new community. The apostle's horizons are vast. He takes in time and eternity, history and eschatology, justification, sanctification, and glorification. Now he stops at verse 33 of chapter 11, out of his breath, and he worships. Before Paul goes on to outline the practical implications of the gospel, he falls down before God and worships him. He begins with an astonishing exclamation, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out." The apostle has already written of God's wealth, the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience at chapter 2, verse 4, the riches of his glory, and the riches which the Lord Jesus bestows on all who call on him. Now he speaks of the depth of his wisdom. And according to Paul, God's wealth and wisdom are not only deep, they are unfathomable. His decisions are unsearchable and his ways inscrutable. Who has known the mind of the Lord? In Isaiah 55, verse 8 following, God declares his thoughts to be higher than our thoughts and his ways than our ways. And of course, how could finite and fallen creatures like you and myself ever imagine that we could penetrate the infinite mind of God? His mind, what he thinks, and his activity, what he does, are altogether beyond us. And any religion that claims to be able to predict the mind of God or to command God to deal with the issues of life according to our plans and not his is a false religion. God's ways are not our ways, nor are his thoughts our thoughts. That is why John Shelby Spong suggested that true religion is not about possessing the truth. No religion does that. It is rather an invitation into a journey that leads one towards the mystery of God. Idolatry, he went on, is religion, pretending that it has all the answers. Who can penetrate the mind of God? Think of this anecdote with me. A man works as a train operator, controlling the train traffic by switching tracks. One day, a young boy came playing on the tracks. To the man's horror, the boy tripped and got his foot caught in the track while an oncoming train was speeding down. He cannot reach the boy in time, and he cannot stop the train in time. To shift the tracks and derail the train would likely kill many people on board while saving the boy. To leave it would mean the sacrifice of one life for the many on board. What would be the wisest choice? I think the honest answer is we don't know. What if the son was the next great evangelist of the church who will bring change and transformation to millions of people throughout the world? What if the accident killed 50 people on board, but the boy's ministry helped millions of people come to know Christ and spend eternity in heaven? What if the next great evangelist was on the train? What if a great scientist, an inventor, what if the cure for cancer was on the train? We are not able to provide right answers to those questions because each answer we give is potentially problematic. Dear friends, we don't have sufficient knowledge and understanding to make the wisest decisions in life. Only God knows all things about all people for all time and how everything impacts one another. And this all-wise God has our highest good in mind because he loves us through and through. What about that? Imagine that every time you pray, instead of mourning over your problems, you firmly believed that what you are going through is known by an all-wise, loving Father whose love will never let you go. What if everything in your life was part of a wise plan in God's hands? If you thought like that, imagine what would happen to your anxiety levels and what that state of mind would mean to your emotions. There is no accident to an all-wise God. When you are convinced about that, it will transform your life. Your whole outlook to life will change like that of the psalmist who proclaimed with certainty and a sense of worship and adoration, "I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works." Nobody can ever fathom the mind of the Lord. So even in the most difficult moments of our lives, let us worship God. Amen. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, Thank you for your word to us this morning. And thank you for reminding us that your ways are not our ways and your thoughts are not our thoughts. Help us, O Father, to leave everything about our lives in your hands and trust that you would deal with them rightfully and helpfully. We confess, O Father, for times when we have felt that we can control what you need to do with us and with our lives. Forgive us and enable us to surrender to you now and always. Amen. We sing our next hymn, Thanks to God Whose Word Was Spoken. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and let us thank God. O God, our Father, in your church both stillness and vitality abound. Companion virtues in the life of faith. May all your people be kept in quietness and confidence of heart, yet not shrink to serve the cause of right with vigor and determination when called by you. Lord, your Son has come to the world bringing in changed lives, visible signs of the arrival of your kingdom. Establish your people's life not on the easy slogans and the good intentions which fertile minds produce and idle hands let die, but on active, prayerful commitment to the mind of Christ. We bring before you, O Father, our offering and ourselves. Take these gifts for the building up of the church and use us as instruments for your service. Remember, Lord, all who live simply and speak plainly amid the complexities of this life, that by their style of life and the directness of their words, they may set new standards in a society weakened by indulgence and confused by twisted speech. Remember, Lord, all unjustly imprisoned for political or religious beliefs, and all victims of violence or fear. Give them courage in their plight, no cramping of their wider vision, and patience to await the dawning of a new age. Remember, Lord, all of a fickle and petulant frame of mind who live busy lives and meet many people, yet remain unmoved by causes or by crises, the easily offended and the hard to please, those who do not know their own mind, and those who behave like spoiled children. Bring them to a new maturity, deliver them from pettiness of spirit, and lead them in the end to share the sympathy and stability of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Remember, Lord, all in our community with charisma, the power to enlist a following, to arouse imagination and emotion, and to thrive on the controversy of public life. Make them humble and responsible. And many Christians with much gifts, consecrate them daily in the apostles' teaching, that worldly standards no longer count in our estimate of any person. Father, we pray now for the world and for world events. We think again of the war going on in Ukraine, for those who've lost their lives, and for people who mourn because they have lost their loved ones. Receive those who have died and keep them safe by your bosom, and comfort those who mourn. And we pray too for other countries where there is war. We think again of the Anglophone crisis in Cameroon, and for the 9 lives that were lost during the course of the week in Womb Town. May you, O Father, speak peace to our world, that wars may cease and that peace may return. We pray, O God, for other crises that have resulted because of the war in Ukraine, especially the economic crisis, and many people who are unable to cope with life because of inflation. May you, O Father, grant wisdom to world leaders to seek lasting solutions to these problems. Lord Jesus Christ, we have offered to you prayer, praise, and the gift of our money and ourselves from the earnings of the past week. Receive from us also the earnest desire to please you in worship and in work alike, and more fully to understand the costs at which you have secured our freedom as the sons and daughters of God. God our Father, reverently and thankfully we acknowledge prophet's vision, martyr's courage, and herald's timeliness in this and every age. We ask you now, O Father, to hear us as we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you are able, please, would you kindly stand and let us together affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We bring our service to its close, singing 624, In Christ There Is No East or West. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Thank you.
Thank you.